Talk Business with Barbados Chamber of Commerce and Industry, BCCI. Welcome as we hear the perspectives of various subject matter experts and stay up to date on the challenges and solutions around emerging and current trends in business, policies, trade, and more.
A good day and welcome to another very special edition of Let's Talk Business, brought to you by the Barbados Chamber of Commerce and Industry. My name is Tahir Bulpulia, and I am your host for this program. This program for me is certainly a very exciting one. I have the honor to be joined by some very esteemed gentlemen who, from a very young age, I looked up to in the business sector, heard them speaking on TV, speaking on the radio, and now I have the chance to interview them. So this is an honor for me. I have joining me today is Mr. James Clark, the president of the Barbados Chamber of Commerce and Industry, Mr. Anthony Branker, vice president with responsibility for strategy and business development at Massey Distribution Barbados, Mr. Andre Gibson, AVP Eastern Caribbean Tropical Shipping, and last but by no means least, Mr. Andrew Bino, who is an importer and also known as Mr. Proper Pork. Gentlemen, in this business climate that we live in this world that we live in that is rapidly shifting, daily there's changes in every aspect. And over the last 5 months, we have seen shifts in the global economy, specifically coming out of the USA. So I'm going to start with Mr. James Clark, president of the Chamber of Commerce. Mr. Clark, could you start by explaining what these new tariffs entail, what a tariff may be, and which sectors in Barbados will likely have the most heavy impact?
Okay, thanks, Tahir. Thank you for having us, and good morning, everybody. So the tariffs, I guess the simplest way to look at them is it's like your import duty, like what we would pay on a good that comes into Barbados. I think people are quite acquainted with that concept. You order something, it comes in online through the post office or through customs. They tell you it's 5%, 20% duty or whatever. This gets applied when that good hits the country where it's being imported into. These and tariffs now, no, you know, the US has put a tariff of 10% on goods leaving Barbados. So all of our exports going into the US will attract a 10% tariff or import duty into the United States. And that, of course, is in of itself concerning because the Barbados and including the Caribbean, we definitely try to export as much as we can, not just to the US, but around the world. To the US, it's done under the Caribbean Basin Initiative, which provides preferential access to the US market. You will have heard on the news, as of yesterday, that the tariff on goods from China coming into the United States have now are north of 100%. And how does that impact us? So given the most of our imports come from the United States. And given that the United States does not produce or manufacture or grow everything that it sells from its shores. So therefore, goods coming in from the Far East or anything from China, whether that be a completed item or even components, will attract this 100% duty. And of course, then that increases the cost of the good in the United States. Unless it's coming through the U.S., say, as a bond, in which case it that remains to be seen whether that will be whether they will be tariffed or not. But it's suffice to say, it has the potential to increase the price of goods in the United States that could eventually get re-exported into the Caribbean. So this is what we're watching very, very carefully, because how that will play out, we don't know. But the concern is, of course, that it causes inflation in the United States, which then gets passed on to us. And in terms of the sectors, we import so many different products from the United States, whether it be food and other consumable items, electronics, equipment, medical supplies, and pharmaceuticals, and the list goes on and on. So, however, the exact impact on each one of these sectors is to be determined.
Yes, it's certainly a situation where it's a lot of wait and see, but we have to definitely prepare. I'm going to jump to Anthony Branker now. What can consumers prepare for, And what immediate effects do you see for Barbadian businesses and distribution companies as well?
Thank you, Tahir. As James would have said, we are still in a wait and see mode because the majority of items that will be coming to us will be impacted by the import tax, the import tariff going into the US and then shipping back out to us. So at this stage, we cannot speak with any certainty as to what the level of increases are, but certainly with over 100% tax on Chinese made goods, which will find themselves into the US. And a lot of these goods are parts and components, ingredients that will come into the products that are exported to us. We can anticipate that there will be increases on these goods, but we cannot speak specifically to what the increases are at this point. But take, for example, something like fresh produce. We bring fresh produce, you know, fruits and vegetables into the island every week. And some of the U.S., you know, are the major consolidators of these fresh produce every week from places like Mexico, Canada, Guatemala, Costa Rica. You know, those are where the produce are really grown. So paying a tax going into the U.S. and then having them to come back out to us, already we can understand that there is going to be some level of increase there, we anticipate. But to what exact level, at this point, we cannot say. But certainly we are hoping that we do get support from the government in terms of buffering what those levels of increases are going to be.
Thank you. And I'm going to jump to Andrew Bino now. Andrew, as an importer into the country, what's your thoughts on these latest developments and what impact do you foresee as well on the business sector?
Well, if nothing changes, we can expect a significant hike in the cost of food and, generally speaking, the cost of living. In terms of food, as where Anthony was heading just now, we could very well be looking at anything from 20%. A couple of weeks ago, we were saying 15. But as it is now, it could very well be in far, far in excess of 15% in terms of the cost, the additional cost for food and other items. Now, obviously, this will have a great impact on persons in this country. The ability to buy at a certain level of so that is one immediate thing that can happen. But apart from that, I think that we have to be careful not to cry at all times. This is not a time for crying. I think that we have to look to see what are our strengths to counter what is happening around us. And I think that one of the things that we have to do is, for instance, take Barbados, look at the idle land. We have to put these fallow lands back into production. We have to grow more food. We have to look at resuscitating certain industries in this country. The pig industry is one. The dairy industry is another. The beef industry. In other words, we have to come back and look into ourselves to see where our strengths are.
Well, Andrew, thank you so much. And I'm going to stick to your first point where you said this is no time to cry. This is a time where we have to stand up and go for what we want and go back to being more sustainable in the way in which we operate. Andre, you know, for the last few years, we've seen the supply chain crisis that we've been facing, especially since the war in Russia and Ukraine, the other supply chain issues and logistical challenges globally. Do you foresee any other logistical or shipping challenges coming out of this? And what complications could this have on the availability of goods here in Barbados?
Hey, morning to your listeners. You know, the supply chain into the Caribbean from, you know, our major trading partners, which are right now, you know, United States, Jamaica, Trinidad, and Guyana, in that order, you know, are very, very strong. You know, we are, you know, a collection of small islands that, you know, we have to survive. So the supply chains have been established, and, you know, in most cases, you know, we've got, you know, 3 to 5 day transits into most markets and in between most markets. And, you know, COVID severely tested those supply chains, and actually, going back to your point, is this is the time to lean in. I think COVID was a time where all of us had to lean in, and we, you know, that was a time in the gym and we got stronger. And I think it puts us in a good position to deal with this crisis. So I would say the supply chains are still very strong. To Mr. Bynum's point, we have to re-examine some of the trading arrangements and trading partners that we have. As he alluded to, you know, the US's three biggest trading partners are Mexico, China, and Canada, in that order, with Mexico and China being about the same. And with all three of those countries now, the goods that they export into the United States now attracting tariffs ranging from, you know, single digits, 10-15% to the 104% on China. Those are going to have an impact on the products that eventually find their way on our shores and on our shelves. You know, because the Barbados, our largest importer is from the United States. I think 2022 data is close to 900 million, followed by Trinidad and Tobago, about 400 million, and then the UK and others. So there will be an impact, but because the supply chains are pretty resilient and the supply chains usually move to where the trade moves, you know, I think you will see, once those shifts start to happen, you will see the supply chains start to support it. So I wouldn't anticipate any shortages of goods. You may see as traders move their supply chain, instead of, say, buying from South Florida, they're buying from the Dominican Republic, buying from Trinidad, you may see the difference in the optics of some of the brands and some of the products. But I think as far as the supply chain, they're very resilient as what's there now, and the capacity that is coming into the Caribbean out of North America, Central America, and the inter-Caribbean trade. So I think you'll probably start to see some of that happening, and I think the supply chain is ready to respond to those shifts as the traders look for new trading partners.
There, let me just support what Andre is saying, because definitely one of the responses that you would find from importers and distributors in Barbados is obviously to see how we can avoid having to go through the U.S. ports, number one, and avoid products that are imported into the U.S. So definitely we will be looking towards Central America, South America. But as Andre just made the point, and I wanted to emphasize this, that it will obviously, we will now have to ensure that we have the trade lanes opened up and the routes are established, and effective and cost-effective shipping rates and so forth applied to these routes, so that we can get products from other source markets into Barbados as inexpensive as possible.
So that we are looking then towards Europe, towards UK, towards South America, and more so within the CARICOM. So I think that if we concentrate our efforts in this direction, we ought to be able to circumvent in a way the catastrophe that would otherwise take place.
Right. And all is not lost too, because we already have some trade agreements with some of our Central American partners.
And just yes, to add to Mr. Branca and Mr. Bynum's points is, you know, a lot of this is also going to be commodity specific. So if you have commodities that originate or generally have a high content of U.S. origin product exporting to the Caribbean, they will have little to no impact. Is where you have, you know, stuff that comes through the U.S. And I know Jimmy touched on this point earlier, and I just kind of expand upon it. He touched on the point about bonded cargo. And basically, bonded cargo is when cargo passes through one country on their bond, and it's allowed to freely pass through that country because it's basically being re-exported. It's not being used for domestic consumption. And a lot of, I think you will see a lot of, well, there's already a lot of capacity in the U.S. from a bonded standpoint. A lot of the freight forwarders and especially operate bonded facilities for that reason. You'll probably start to see through the supply chain distribution centers being established that are bonded. So that product that might be coming in from China or product that might be coming in from Canada or Mexico can pass through those facilities on the bond and then be re-exported. So I think you're going to see, you know, it says, you know, you're going to see a lot of invention, a lot of creativity, you know, coming out of these tariffs if they indeed, you know, are sustained long term, because we are seeing some signaling from the United States as of this morning that they're open to negotiate. So, I mean, obviously, that the best outcome is if, you know, everyone starts negotiating and we start walking these tariffs back. But in the long term, if that does not happen, you will start to see supply chains, you know, maturing and, well, not maturing, but kind of adjusting accordingly.
Perhaps a whole new routing of the shipping system, a logistical system globally. On that point, I'm going to jump to James. For a very long time, and coming out of perhaps the COVID pandemic as well, we saw the shift in the global powerhouses. We saw the emergence of India, more so in different spaces, whether it be tech, production, commodities, even production of in different sectors. We saw now the Middle East has come to, in a more significant way, Dubai, Saudi Arabia, to the table. And even countries in Africa, Rwanda, Ghana as well. And we've seen the government even take routes to form diplomatic relations. How can we utilize these relationships to build, but also shift the mindset away from the traditional trading partner to these new players in the game, or should I say emerging players in the game?
So, Tahir, yeah, I mean, none of the countries are static, right? Everybody is, their economies are growing and building. And of course, with the advent of much improved technology, you're seeing that acceleration and growth in countries all over the world. I mean, who doesn't want the best thing for their citizens? You know, we're always looking to grow. Now, issues, there's always the issues of geography, which, depending on what you are buying or selling, may or may not be an issue. So in terms of geography, physically, shipping routes, depending on what ships, vessels are available, what minimum order quantities you can do or not do, these all have an impact depending on where they're coming from. And depending on the cost of that, it may make goods prohibitive to buy. Because of the cost of shipping, it's possible. The flip side, unless you're buying in significant quantity. The flip side of that is trade in services, for example, with digital services and so on. Literally, there's very few barriers then to that, other than, you know, because everything is done online or it's all digital. So I think the world is open for trade and the world is interested in trading, and Barbados similarly. We import most of what we do, but we also do our exporting. And I think that this is a great time for us to continue our exploration of the global market and see, you know, what products and services, not only for us to buy for ourselves that we need, but also that we can export the same said products and services that other people may need, and really position Barbados as a global player.
But I go beyond Barbados, because we have to think more in terms of CARICOM. As a unit, CARICOM is obviously more effective than Barbados. So to my mind, here's the opportunity to consolidate in terms of our imports as a CARICOM region, as opposed to individually just Barbados. This could mean a realignment of certain aspects like ports and so on, whereby vessels go to one of the larger ports, might be Kingston, Jamaica, that comes to mind right away, and transship from there. So that it could mean that we then begin to look at our strategies as far as our ports are concerned within an overall realignment in relation to our imports.
Absolutely. Andrew, I agree with you 100%. I think this is a great opportunity to that, especially to strengthen existing, some in some cases, existing supply routes, but they may need bolstering if there's going to be additional trade. And this is, you know, we have the usual Miami, Canada, Jamaica, Trinidad, Guyana, and then also Panama. Anything coming through Panama usually goes via Jamaica. And Brazil is another country, a vast country, vast resources, products and services and so on. But right now, not a lot of shipping linkages. You usually have to go through another country to get to Barbados. So yeah, this is what this exploration is going to do. It's going to open up these realizations that, hey, maybe we need to improve our logistical capabilities, and also, as Andrew says, pooled purchasing and various things to really bolster CARICOM as a region rather than individual players. So the Chamber certainly has a number of efforts through various trade missions, and whether we host incoming ones or we have outbound trade missions. The most recent one was to Panama, and that was very, very interesting. There's one for Canada. Obviously, Canada now, given the issues that are going on between itself and its southern neighbor, Canadian suppliers are going to be looking outward as well. And so that's of interest. Other Latin American countries, Special Envoy Wiggins is working on a trade mission to Brazil. So, and also trade missions to Kenya and Ghana. So we have... There's interest globally, and certainly they're worth exploring. And this is one of the value added services that the chamber can offer. And last but not least, is the current discussions that are being had, not just with chamber, but certainly at the government level with Togo in terms of exporting from Africa.
Yes, I wholeheartedly agree with everything that has been said, and we really need to make that push for more regional integration, more regional business. Anthony Branker, how can we take this beyond talk and more action to have our Caribbean countries produce more that we can be independent within CARICOM rather than externally?
Well, Tahir, that's a good question. And I think that we have to recognize, though, that even though we call ourselves CARICOM, the truth is that these small independent states where we try to think that we are into manufacturing and into processing and so forth, we really are just skimming the surface. But I think that we should identify which of the islands within CARICOM has the capacity to really produce and utilize that. Let's say, look at Guyana and the amount of water that they have for agriculture. Clearly, that is a huge opportunity. But then if we look at the cost of electricity in Barbados and the cost of gasoline and so forth in Barbados, we are nowhere going to be able to compete in terms of being able to produce a good that is at a competitive level. But I think that we have the opportunity to forge trade agreements with some of the partners, even beyond the immediate CARICOM, that would enable us to be able to get, as I said earlier, we already have trade agreements with some persons in some countries in Central America, and we can expand that. And therefore, I don't think that we can be effective at doing everything within CARICOM, but I think that we can find the countries around us that are willing to support CARICOM, and we can get those trade agreements in place.
Fine, but the other thing that we also
Sorry, Andrew, but we're going to have to wrap up now. We're coming to the end of the program. I believe we can do a part two to this perhaps next week, as political will is all where all the decisions are at. So, ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank my guests, Mr. James Clark, President of the BCCI, Andrew Gibson, Anthony Branken, Andrew Bino, for joining me here today on this very important discussion. And what I took away from it is that we are living in a world where we cannot sit back. As Andre said, we have to lean in and see what we can do to contribute to the success. But I certainly believe there will be a part two to this conversation. So I want to thank you I want to thank each and every one of you, and feel free to give the BCCI a message, give them a call to share your feedback on this program. So until next time, ladies and gentlemen, please be safe. God bless.
That's it for another edition of Let's Talk Business with Barbados Chamber of Commerce and Industry, BCCI. Join us again next time as we hear the perspectives of various subject matter experts and stay up to date on the challenges and solutions around emerging and current trends in business, policies, trade, and more.